every Arizona homeowner's best friend.
And welcome to hour three of this morning's broadcast. I'm Rosie. I think we're in our 37th year of broadcasting Rosie on the House. In studio here, my eldest son, Romy, and co-host. We have Jennifer answering the phone and getting your name in question. If you'll dial 1-888-767-4348, we'll answer any question you have about remodeling, building, maintaining, caring for, or living in your Arizona home. And then, of course, we have broadcast engineer Gary Thomas Dominguez, making sure it all lines up with the satellites just fine. So the information goes from our microphones to your listening device. Someone was trying to listen to our show this morning on a transistor radio and saying she could not get the podcast. We helped her along. Hey, we've got a lot of things we want to talk about right now. We talk a lot about getting out and enjoying this great state of Arizona. For those of you, families, that are looking for things, great fun things to do with the kids, I just got to bring one museum to your attention right now. It's the Cave Creek Museum up in Cave Creek, Arizona. They're only open in the winter, like October to May. But all through April, they've got some peculiar events. This April in particular, today they are honoring first responders up there at the museum. And today and on the 27th, they are having, by reservation only, you can bring your kids, and they are having, you can experience real gold mining. Real gold mining, how it was done. Actually, parts of a press and a mill that were disassembled from a gold mine just a few miles up the mountain and brought down to the museum, put in place. An actual gold mine mill that operated right there in the Cave Creek Mining District. They've got classes on the history of Spurcross Ranch. If you're not familiar with it, it's one of my favorite museums in all of Arizona. Check it out at cavecreekmuseum.org. And in getting out in the wilds, like we were talking about, the rattlesnake and the quail Jennifer and I encountered in the horseback ride around Bartlett Lake area, make sure when you're out there hiking, Romy and I had a good friend text us a couple weeks ago and say, thanks, I took my earbud out listening to the podcast on my little desert hike, and sure enough, was warned of a rattlesnake before we got into dangerous territory. So walk right down in the desert with one earbud out so you can hear the rattling, and you stumble across any baby wildlife, leave them. They haven't been abandoned. They're just lost a little bit, but mom knows where they are, and she's eminently more qualified to care for them than you are. Jennifer, I'm moving.
Moving?
Uh-huh.
Where? Are you taking me with you?
Yeah, you're welcome to come. I hope you are. A piece of property is for sale, and I'm buying it.
Okay.
The Copper Queen Hotel in Bisbee is for sale.
That would be fun. Then all of Arizona could come be our guest.
And then all of Arizona could come be our guest.
Would that be a staycation opportunity there, too?
I would give staycations.
Ongoing,
yeah, absolutely. 116-year-old Copper Queen Hotel in Bisbee is for sale. I can't tell you how tempted I am. Lots of things to do in about in the great state of Arizona. And what we try and do is help you take care of your house where you can get out and take advantage of these things. And my email was kind of jammed solid with Rosie. You didn't do it. Last week, you said you were going to answer a question on hanging a 50-pound roll-up shade on a stucco wall. And I said I was going to do it. And then we got overrun with phone calls, and I never got back to it. So let's talk a little bit about how I would suggest you hang anything of any significant weight on an outside wall of your home. And we'll start with most of you have a home of what we have called for years silly sticks and stucco. 2x4 or 2x6s. That are then covered with 1 inch of foam board, that are then covered with chicken wire lathing, which are then covered with about 3/8, 1/2 inch, 5/8 inch of acrylic stucco. We have nicknamed that silly sticks and stucco only because we're very prejudiced to masonry constructed homes. But if you're going to hang something on a silly sticks and stucco outside wall that weighs 50 pounds, you are going to have to find a stud. That foam board and that chicken wire and that stucco is, you are not going to be able to put anything, any anchor into that part of the wall in between the stud cavities that is going to hold that kind of weight.
Even on the old homes where they used to sheathe the whole thing in OSB.
That helps.
That OSB isn't going to be a long-term
solution. No, but as far as holding a thread. But at least then you can punch through it and put a wing nut on it to grab it from the back.
But when did they stop? Man, did, you know, they changed it whole home, everything used to be sheathed, then it was only the corners.
Yeah, the shear panels. Now we only have to install it for the shear panels. And yeah. And a lot of times the better builders are still sheathing their homes and then vapor burying it and then applying the foam and the chicken. And that's better. But I would still tell you, find the stud. And in a sheathed house, finding the stud,
it makes it a little trickier.
It can be a little tricky. It can definitely be a little tricky. But when you do find the stud, it may not be exactly where you want it to hang this shade. So that even gets a little bit trickier. So if your shade is 3 or 4 feet wide, you ought to be able to find two studs in that region. But just know this. From the shade you're mounting to where the screw can get some purchase and get some bite, you're 1 inch, minimum 1 1/4, 1 1/2 inch away from the stud. So you're going to have to be using a 2 1/2 or 3 inch screw or, you know, lag screw or wood screw. Do not use a 3 inch drywall screw. Those don't have the threads capable of supporting that kind of weight. Go ahead and get an actual wood screw and or a lag screw. And I would use a 1/8 inch diameter drill bit. And I would, if once you think you've found that stud, use the drill bit and penetrate it and make sure you've got the center of the stud, not just an outside corner of it where the threads are going to pierce through it and only catch a little bitty corner of the stud. So that can get tricky, hanging heavy things on a silly sticks and stucco wall. One of the ways people do it is they will take a decorative board and mount it on top of the stucco that then gets secured to the studs with long lag screws, and then the shade is mounted to that. So you're mounting a board that's decorative, it's painted and or stained, it's mounted to the stucco securely to support several hundred pounds, and then the shade or screen is then mounted to that.
Well, and that lets you move it. So if the anchor points on your screen don't line up with the studs and you're trying to center the shade between maybe a window and the edge of the corner or, you know, where your sitting area is, putting up that ledger to anchor into then allows you to move that shade along that ledger to wherever you want instead of being tied into where the studs are.
Exactly. So now let's talk to those of you. We have a lot more questions. A lot of times people want to hang something on masonry, and they're just stumped. And hanging things on masonry, I want to tell you, is actually pretty simple. And one of the things you're going to want to start with is you're going to want to start with a sharp masonry bit. And I would tell you, I think every homeowner ought to have a cordless drill, and it doesn't cost that much more to get at least an 18 amp hammer drill. And when you're drilling masonry with a masonry bit, the hammer drill actually creates a much cleaner hole. The drill bit doesn't bounce around as it's trying to find purchase to start the hole. So start with a new sharp masonry bit. Determine where you're going to hang this. When I'm hanging on a masonry wall, there's lots of options and lots of different anchors you can use. I prefer the lead shield. To me, it's the most secure, the most accurate, and is capable of supporting the most weight. You drill the hole, you insert the lead shield, you mount what you want on the wall, and then you attach the bolt in there, and it screws into the lead shield. The lead is soft, it's malleable. As the screw is making its way through the lead sleeve, through the lead shield, it's being forced out with extreme stress and pressure to the masonry hole you've drilled, and it is a very positive and very sure anchoring point for the most amount of weight. Now, if you're not carrying as much weight, I'll tell you, there's a company called Tapcon, T-A-P-C-O-N, and you buy a Tapcon masonry bolt kit, and it comes with a brand new special masonry bit that drills the hole, and then the Tapcon actually has special threads. You don't have to put any lead shield or any insert in. The screw itself is designed to grab the masonry and hold it, and it's a very simple kit to use, and I have found them to support quite a bit of weight. I will tell you one thing not to use in a masonry wall. You can buy these little packs of hard plastic expandable sleeves. I don't even like using those on drywall. The drywall dust, the drywall powder, when you drill the masonry hole, it leaves small little sand granules that actually act as a lubricant. And I don't think you can anchor those. I use them very, very seldom, but they're the most popular thing you use. Avoid using them anytime you're trying to anchor to a masonry wall or mount any significant weight. Oh, yeah. Rosie on the House has a website. On that website, we have a referral directory where we screen and vet contractors that we put out there for you, the Arizona homeowners, as safe places you can go and make sure you're going to get the kind of treatment we feel you deserve, you're entitled to as an Arizona homeowner. All categories of contractors are covered there, and we've been voted 16 years in a row as the safest, most reliable contractor referral directory in the entire state. And that's over and above even the national referral directories. We were never set out to be the biggest, but we are committed to providing you the best. And in the last couple of weeks, we've gotten quite a few comments about how our partners and in that referral network have gone above and beyond. And I would like to just give an attaboy, a tip of the hat, a slap on the back to Beyer Appliance, because what we're seeing them do the last couple weeks is a perfect manifestation of the type of people they are, and they're a perfect example of all the members of the Rosie on the House referral network. If you're interested or you're in need of appliance repair, I call Beyer Appliance. They are just really great people. Roman, did you see what Arizona Paint Company was doing next weekend?
Paint it forward.
They annually they pick a homeowner that is entitled due to circumstances of life, a free paint job in their home. And so next weekend, they're actually going out to the West Valley, and they're going to be painting Miss Deborah's house with their team. So hats off to companies like Arizona Paint Company, a proud member of the Rosie on the House Referral Network, for giving back to the community and measuring up and holding the lamp out there for all the good things that can be done. I got two or three notices this week from Dunright Windows and how well Sal Sicato and his team was taking care of window and door replacement projects all across the valley. So just tickled to death on all the feedback we're getting from our great members.
And when we get feedback like that, we try and direct people to their Guild Quality Survey and Review. We try and do all of our reviews and customer feedback through a third party, which it's a little bit longer, and a lot of people don't like to take the time to do it. But what it does is it creates a separation of church and state for us so that all of our reviews are managed third party. So there's no chance for manipulation or bias or persuasion. And sometimes when somebody's talking to you or me, you know, is different than if they're talking to somebody else and the feedback we might get. So it helps create the most honest, sincere customer feedback and referrals that is currently possible. And with the thousands of reviews that we have had homeowners do through the Guild Quality, our network score is at 98%. So that's a big deal to us, because you you can go look at reviews on other platforms that they're not verified. It could be completely open form, has nothing to do about the company. I mean, even our Google review, I haven't checked, but our top one was talking about how great our coffee is. Well, the person writing the review obviously did not write it for the right business profile. We've highlighted that to Google, and they're like, well, it doesn't break any of our violations, so we're not going to remove it. So, okay, great. We sell coffee, apparently, which we don't. So it's verified, and you can't manipulate positive and negative ones like, you know, other platforms where you can pay to have the bad ones taken away.
The other thing that I'm particularly tickled about, Romy, is all the videos you've been posting to YouTube. We're actually filming the radio segments and then cutting them down into smaller viewable segments. A perfect example is when we had the Arizona Paint Company in studio and we talked painting tips all hour long. I think we came up with 14 or 15 small, little watchable things. How to prepare your paintbrush, how to caulk, how to repair drywall. Just little tips that you could go to our YouTube channel, go to YouTube, go to the search engine, type in Rosie on the House. We have our own YouTube channel. We've got thousands, a couple thousand of our own subscribers. You can subscribe. And if you do subscribe, every week when we post new videos and shorts and instructional segments on, you'll be notified and you'll be able to keep up to track on everything we're covering, and everything from home security to energy audits to painting is covered right there on the YouTube channel of Rosie on the House.
And I really like the playlist and why we use Google or YouTube as our first video source of content. Because you have playlists. So when we're done with Pella from last week, we can put them all into a specific Pella playlist about their windows and doors. So then you can scroll through that and find what you're looking for. You want to go back to one of our Farm Fresh Hours or Ultimate Gardening Hour, you can go to that playlist and scroll through to find the specific topic you're looking for. And we've enhanced the way we're titling the videos now to actually make it easier, more understandable to navigate. If you'd like to join the conversation, 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. Text questions can be sent to 411-923 during the broadcast only. Or you can email us at info@rosieonthehouse.com. If you need to attach a picture or a short video, that can be sent to that email address. The 10:30 segment. Third segment, 10 o'clock hour right now, is when we cover our weekly to-do. For those of you that subscribe to our newsletter, we've already had a chance to read the topic, which is energy efficiency. Visual inspections for the insulation and weather stripping around your home is where we start. If you have a home that you actually have attic access to, you want to start by making sure that you're checking all the areas and it's got a consistent blanket of insulation.
That consistent is really the key word there, Romy. You hit right on it. You can stick your head up there. And, oh, yeah, I got lots of insulation. It's piled up over there. It's piled up over here. It's piled up everywhere. It needs to be a consistent minimum 9 inches everywhere, every square inch. So it should look like a flat sea, not like a ocean in a hurricane with piles here and piles there and everywhere else. So the consistent is the key word there.
And that can be tricky because if you're going for 9 inches of insulation, that is above the ceiling joist. So it's, you know, not, you're not going to know where to necessarily walk to go around and check it all. And then by doing that, you're actually subsequently going to be displacing and trampling your insulation blanket. So if you can get as far as with your head up into the attic and shine a light, look around and see that it's a fairly consistent, then I don't think I would go any farther or venture into it unless it has a designated walkway path that was put in by the builder.
Absolutely.
Which a lot of times if you've got mechanical equipment in the attic, there'll at least be a platform from the attic access to and around the mechanical equipment. So it lets you move around a little bit, but no need to step off if it's got a good, clear, consistent coat over the top.
The other thing we talk about is testing that you can do in your home by yourself. And I tell people, you know, something that really comes in handy in this test in particular is about a 6-inch candle. And as you've got your air conditioning system turned on, light the candle and go put it by the junction boxes on the outside walls of your home and blow it out and see where the smoke goes. You'll actually see smoke leaving the house or being forced into the house, indicating a draft at every one of those electrical boxes. Do the same thing at the recessed cans up in your ceiling. Identical situation. Those are all draft points. Not to mention at every single door and window. It's called the smoke test. A little candle, light it, blow it out. The little bit of smoke it disperses gives you an indication if you're how tight your home is sealed. Now, if you can see daylight through your door weather stripping, you don't need a candle, okay? You just know that that's a place. And as the afternoons warm up and your air conditioning is running and the fan is on, you can go outside your house on the warm afternoons and pass your hand around every single penetration. Think of the outside of your home as a fixed envelope with no holes. But then we're going to pop a window. We're going to pop a door. We're going to pop a plumbing vent pipe. We're going to pop some electrical conduit. We're going to pop junction boxes for plugs, receptacles, switches. All of those are holes in your envelope. Go pass your hand and your palm around all of those with the air conditioner running on a warm afternoon. You'll be amazed at how much air conditioning you're sending out into the environment. Another great tip and trick for that is just get to Ace Hardware and buy a thermal imaging thermometer or pistol where you actually shoot the laser red light at a specific area and it will read the temperature of that area. Go walk onto that silly sticks and stucco wall facing the west and shoot it. You'll see the wall surface on a hot afternoon is going to be somewhere around 120 to 130 degrees. Now go walk over to the nearest electrical outlet on that same wall and shoot the perimeter of the trim box or take the trim box faceplate off and shoot the outside of the junction box itself. You're going to be amazed at how much air conditioning is making its way outside every one of those boxes. While the plate is off, go ahead and caulk between the stucco and the junction box. You'll be doing yourself a favor. You do that all the way around the house and go to Ace Hardware and buy the little felt insulation blankets that you put on the outlet before you put the trim plate back on. That's gonna take you about an hour and a half. It's going to cost you about $30 in material, and it is going to be the equivalent in the middle of the summer of you closing. Would you have an open window in your house while the air conditioning is running and it's 115 degrees outside? Well, doing that simple exercise and that simple do-it-yourself test is the equivalent of you closing one window in your home. It's low-hanging fruit. It's easy for anyone to do, and it's very inexpensive. So the other thing we tell people is you better check and see how you're buying electricity. I will tell you, and I'm not judging anybody, I'm just telling you from pure statistics, about 80% of you are on the wrong power purchasing plan because you're scared of off-peak and on-peak. And so many of you are buying electricity at the standard rate, and that standard rate is 3 to 5 times as expensive as buying off-peak power. So let's take a hard look at your SRP, APS, DEP invoicing, and go to their websites and take a look what shifting to on-peak, off-peak power consumption could possibly save you. And once you do that, then we'll take you to super cooling class and watch you increase your comfort and increase your indoor air quality and increase your power consumption and see your bill go down. It's the greenest thing you can do. The power generation companies are begging all of us to go to that power consumption mode. The other thing, and a big part of that, is getting a programmable thermostat. So this, we're trying to get you this information. Do it now in the spring while it's still nice to be out there working. And then experience the benefits of it all summer long.
Did I hear 100 degrees next week?
I think you heard awful close to that. I think we're going high 90s.
Well, we knew it was coming.
Yeah, we knew it was coming. April 13th.
I would say a lot of on energy efficiency. It's not, we don't cover it in this article, but a lot of times you read about, you know, changing out your lights. And the big push, you know, it was incandescent and fluorescent. We've got CFLs. Now the big thing is LED. Well, all of those, each one seems to have its own little pattern of light that, you know, some people, the CFLs bothered them with the light flickering, but they were fine with the halogen or the LED. So before you spend a lot of money, if you're trying to go through lights as a way of money saving, experiment with them a little bit. Make sure it doesn't give you headaches or eye flicker, because it seems like every type of different light we've invented so far, it sets a few people off.
That's a great point. And there's so many different colors of light, and you don't want to spend a bunch of money on something and then just hate it. I was in a new build recently, and every light, for whatever reason, they love putting tons of lights in the ceilings now, and it's like bright, bright white. It just not a comfortable feeling, not inviting. So, But I know what you were going to say.
April 13th.
And I've got some good news for you.
You know what happens on Monday?
Mm-hmm.
April 15th.
Tax day.
Tax day is due.
I know one lady who's working on her taxes this morning because she called and asked how she could give her donation to the Habitat fund that you've been requesting.
Rosie on the House has teamed up with Habitat for Humanity, and we would like to build one home funded by you, the Rosie on the House army of listeners. And I'd like to reach out in particular down to Casa Grande. We've got Jonathan Baker at Trusted Accounting Partners. He said, Rosie, you just need to know that as we're doing tax preparation down here for all your listeners in the Casa Grande Pinal County area, we're making sure they know they can do a diversion, a pivot of their tax liability without costing them one penny by going to HabitatCAZ.org. Click on the donate button, and you can actually re-divert through an Arizona tax credit any tax liability you owe to Habitat. And under the designation, just click on the Rosie on the House build. I'm excited with what we've raised so far. I would hope that in the tax day filing, being due on Monday, we see a ginormous spike in participation.
When you go to Habitat and hit the donate button in the middle of the page, it takes you to another button that says donate online. And right above that line, there's a click through where you can, if you don't understand that, how that works, there's a whole nice article there on how that works. But it's nothing extra. You're going to pay, let's say you're going to pay $500 in taxes.
To the Arizona State.
To Arizona State. And you write $100 to Habitat. That now you only owe $400 to the state. So you just got to pick where your money goes. So it's a very, very nice feature. I've been happy since they instituted that in Arizona.
Individuals can divert up to $400. Filing jointly with your spouse, you can re-divert up to $800 of your tax liability. We only need like 120 families to jump on board, 150 families to jump on board. And I know there's 150 of you out there that owe Arizona state property and state income tax and are fans and listeners of the show who I've helped you in the past. Repay that help. I would appreciate it. Jump on board and support the Rosie Build at Habitat for Humanity.
I sure took lots of notes today.
Lots of notes. You know, before we go to takeaways for the show, let me just address one of the emails I'm getting more often than not here the last, I want to say the last couple months. Many of you are aware that municipalities across the valley have loosened up the laws on allowing you to build backyard casitas, mother-in-law suites, pool homes, pool houses, whatever you want to call it. And we are being flooded with requests of information. I want to build one. There's a lot you need to know before you go forward. And the city council's passed this legislation, I want to say, with good intentions, but possibly not without checking out with the building department and the utility companies all the implications this was going to cause and create. There's lots of things that need to be considered before you just drop a mother-in-law suite in your backyard, a backyard casita, or a pool cabana with a bedroom, a bathroom, and maybe a small kitchenette. So if you're interested in pursuing something like that, I can only tell you, proceed with caution and don't jump at the first coupon offer of somebody offering to help you with that. The cost for doing this is much higher than what I'm seeing many people say they think they can get it done for. And you go down the path and finish your entire due diligence with somebody you trust to get an accurate representation of what this is going to cost. Let me give you a hint. If you open up multiple listing services, or you contact a realtor, or you go onto one of the internet real estate appraising agencies, and you start looking at homes in your neighborhood, you're going to see that you can probably buy an existing home in your neighborhood, already done, fixed, ready to go, in multiple states of fitness and repair, for anywhere from about $300 a square foot to about $450 a square foot. That's what current homes are costing. For a builder to come and build a backyard casita in your home, we have to bring every single contractor involved in building a whole home back to that little bitty piece of property. We've got to bring the excavators, the concrete people, the framers, the drywallers, the insulators, electricians, plumbers, stucco, painters, cabinets, countertops, appliances. Every single one of those trades have to show up and do some amount of. We cannot build that backyard casita for what the dollar per square foot value of your existing home is. So it's a great thing that they did it, but just proceed. Don't jump into this without doing all your due diligence up front. We're hearing a lot of horror stories. Well, they said I could do it for this, and they said I could do it for that. Well,
there's so many things that are not obvious, like in getting started with ours. Okay, so the septic tank's not big enough, so we got to spend all this money just to sink a hole in the yard. It makes me so sad. Can't show off that. Hey, come see my new.
That's like burying thousands of dollars in a hole in the background. You can't show off to anybody.
Well, Janice told me to get over it because at least I wasn't having to use an outhouse.
That would have been fun. Good old-fashioned outhouse.
Lots to learn this hour. I mentioned it a couple times. You needed your head protective gear and safety glasses and steel-toed boots and a good seatbelt to hang on. Lots and lots of information that you'll be able to stay tuned and catch in podcasts if you didn't take notes fast enough.
Absolutely. And one article that Jennifer had sent, Justin and I had planned to talk about, was from Arizona Big Media talking about how the East Valley has evolved into kind of an agritourism hotspot. Most listeners, you've heard us talk about the Queen Creek Olive Mill, Schnepp Farms, and a lot of these get covered in the Farm Fresh Hour, but there's a lot of new things that are popping up that are just complementing on that. You've got Morrison Ranch popping up. You've got Agritopia popping up. What Sossaman Farms and Grain R&D are doing with the Heritage Corner, and even with Justin's involvement in the new Desert Queen Creek Botanical Gardens, the first time we've had a botanical garden built west of the Mississippi in like 60 years or something like that, if I remember the stats correctly. So it's one of the interesting things about that, though. I think if you really look at a key to that, it's a very predominant farming area is established because you've got all the tributaries coming together. You've got Queen Creek, you've got Verde, you've got the salt.
Oh, good point.
It provides a lot of opportunity in that part of Arizona where you wouldn't have it, on the west side of the White Tanks where they're trying to put Douglas Ranch.
I'd move there with you, Rosie.